Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Hey, my name is Alan. Nowadays, I live in a small town just outside the city. I don't like to go out too much at night, and I prefer to go places that are always in traffic. But you know, it wasn't always like this. I used to not only stay up at night, but I also came home from work at that time.
Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale, and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Many people told me I was doing something very risky, but I didn't care. I thought I was safe, and I usually was, until that day. That day, I just wasn't out. It was a dark and cold autumn night. I had arrived early at the bus stop after a long day at work. The loneliness of the place and the dim light of the street lamp created an eerie atmosphere, but it was normal. I was always afraid at the bus stop, not a fear of ghosts or paranormal entities, but a more logical fear, like being robbed. Despite that, I didn't notice anything out of the ordinary. I was just waiting for the bus like any other day. The bus stop was completely empty, so I was sure it had just left, so I would have to wait a few more minutes. As I was absent mindlessly flipping through an old newspaper, I felt someone's gaze on me. At first, I ignored it, thinking it was a figment of my imagination. But the feeling persisted. It was as if I knew something was wrong, but trying to confirm it would only make it more real. I decided to gather my strength and look up and check my surroundings, searching for the owner of that disturbing look. It was then that I saw him standing in the gloom, staring at me with cold, merciless eyes. He was a tall, thin man with a sinister expression that chilled my blood. His penetrating gaze followed my every move. He didn't even try to hide the fact that he was watching me. He didn't seem to mind, or even seemed to enjoy it. I couldn't help but feel a shiver run down my spine. I got up from my seat trying to get rid of that uncomfortable feeling, but the guy moved with me, always keeping a prudent distance. I decided to go to another bus stop seeking refuge among other people, but my stalker seemed to anticipate my every move. No matter where I went, he was always there watching me. People didn't seem to notice. They were all on their cell phones in their own worlds, completely unaware of what was going on around them. The discomfort was becoming unbearable. I wondered why that man had decided to focus his attention on me. What did he want from me? I couldn't find a logical explanation, but his presence filled me with deep, visceral fear. Despite that, I told myself that I was safe. There was no way that man was going to attack me in a crowded place. And if he did, he would be stopped. As scary as he looked, he was still a human.
"Hey, how much are you staring at me? Do I know you?"
I tried to talk to him, to comfort him, but he just smiled in a disturbing way as if he enjoyed my distress. The minutes passed slowly and the bus stop became a labyrinth where I felt trapped with my stalker, with no possibility of escape. Some people noticed what was happening, but no one dared to act. The man was simply too scary. Finally, my bus arrived. With relief, I climbed aboard, thinking he was going to get on after me. But no, he just stood there staring at me as I got on. Despite this, I breathed a sigh of relief, hoping to put the nightmare behind me. However, when I looked out the window, the man was still standing at the bus stop with a smile that made it clear that this was not over. The next few days were even worse. I had to get home from work, but I didn't know which way to go. The bus was the only way to get home, and I was sure that one way or another, he would be there waiting for me. The first few nights, I always waited to get to the bus stop when there were people, and if there weren't, I waited in the shadows for it to fill up. At first, I thought I managed to avoid him, or even that he was bored with me. But as time went by, I began to realize that he never really left me, because when the bus started, he was always hiding near the bus stop, staring at me with his huge smile. I really had no choice but to walk home, and without realizing it, that was the worst decision I could have ever made. The night it all happened, I was walking home. I completely avoided the bus stop, thinking that he might be waiting for me there. And even though the streets were very dark, it was really quiet. That is, until I started to hear footsteps behind me. I walked quickly without turning around, but those footsteps increased the speed. I turned around to see who they were, but there was no one near me. Total darkness and loneliness. At that moment, I thought my mind was playing tricks on me, but it was still time to run. I went as fast as I could, and immediately the footsteps sounded again behind me. As I kept running, I realized that I was being followed, and when I saw that it was a familiar figure, I got even more scared. It was the psycho. The man who was waiting for me at the bus stop was behind me. It was at that moment that I realized a terrifying truth. The man was not waiting for me at the bus stop. He was following me before. Did he follow me from work? Maybe from my house? Does he know where I live? Could he come to my house whenever he wants? I had no idea who he was or where he came from. But having confirmed this, I knew one thing for sure. This man was really dangerous and he wasn't playing with me. If he caught me, there was no doubt that something terrible would happen to me. I started to run as fast as I could, but quickly realized that there was no point in doing so. He was much faster than me, and he was waiting for an opportunity to be alone with me in the dark. In a matter of seconds, he caught me quickly and threw himself on top of me. His smile was brighter than ever, and his eyes looked totally haunted. This man had me at his mercy, and he could do whatever he wanted to me.
What are you going to do to me? Why me?
Without answering me, the man opened his jacket and took out something under it. As soon as I saw this person's weapon, I started to cry uncontrollably because I knew what was coming. The man didn't have a knife, a gun, or something to hurt my face. In his hand, he had a
dead rat.
Laughing like a psychopath, he shoved the broken one with all his might into my mouth. Between vomit, saliva, and tears, I tried my best to spit it out, but I couldn't. He just kept squeezing harder and harder. I started to choke. I couldn't even breathe anymore. In the midst of all the crisis, all the absolute panic, I realized that the man was so absorbed in his amusement that he stopped paying attention and became careless. At that moment, I managed to kick him in his private parts and managed to escape down the street, running while vomiting. As I did so, I could only see the man behind me, laughing loudly as he waved at me. That same night, I quit my job. There was no way I could keep the house, so I went back to my hometown to find some peace. I never found that man again, nor did I understand why he had attacked me. I only know that now I am much calmer, but even so, I can avoid always looking in the dark. Because I feel that at any moment, sooner or later, that man will attack me again.
Hello everyone. We are thrilled that you have been enjoying our videos. Your support means the world to us. If you've liked what you've seen, please consider liking and subscribing to our channel. We would love to hear which one of our videos is your favorite. We're on a mission to reach 100,000 members in the SSG family, and with your help, we can achieve that goal. Thank you for being a part of our journey.
Hey, my name is Carson, and I'll tell you a story of how a stalker almost ruined my life. A short time ago, I installed one of those security cameras that activate every time someone rings the doorbell or approaches the door. The idea was simple: a deterrent to potential burglars or stalkers. However, nothing could stop whoever was harassing me during that time. It was a night like any other. I was home alone, engrossed in the monotony of watching TV, when I received the first notification from the camera app. At first, I thought it was just a glitch, maybe some shadow or movement caused by the wind. But the second notification made me look up from the screen. On the small screen of my phone,
I saw a man standing in my doorway. His face was hidden by a hood, but his posture denoted a kind of tension. He wasn't carrying any bags or packages. He was just standing there as if waiting for something. I froze for a moment, wondering who it could be and what he might want at this time of night. I decided not to open the door and instead activated the intercom to ask him what he needed. However, all I got was an ominous silence. The figure stood motionless for a few minutes, and then, as if it had received some invisible signal, it turned and walked away. It was strange, but I thought maybe it was just a lost neighbor or someone who had taken a wrong turn. I closed the app and went back to my business, trying to forget about the strange visit. But the peace didn't last long. After a few hours, the bell rang again. This time, I was more prepared. I looked at the screen, and again, the same man was there. With his hood still covering his face, he seemed to be looking directly into the camera. I couldn't help but feel a shiver run down my spine. I opted to ignore the situation and not interact with him. But what happened next made me reconsider my decision. The figure raised his hand and slammed the door several times loudly. The sound echoed through the house, and its persistence filled me with discomfort. Getting no response, he finally withdrew again. A few days passed, and the nightly visits became an unsettling routine. Although I tried not to show it, the constant pressure began to get to me. The nights became tense, and the ringing of the bell became a kind of psychological torture. I decided to report the incident to the police, but what would they do? Without clear evidence of a threat, they couldn't do much. They suggested increasing security in the house and being vigilant, so I installed brighter lights and reinforced the locks. But the figure kept coming. The police told me they would go around the neighborhood, but I looked out at night and hardly saw them. I couldn't blame them either. This man had been stalking me for weeks. Surely the police officers would have better things to do than watch a house for weeks waiting for a stalker to decide to strike when they didn't even know if he was going to. Hell, even I didn't know if he was going to do it. Maybe I was making too much trouble for something minuscule. Or at least, that's what I thought before the night when it all happened. That night started like any other. This time, I was more attentive than ever to the appearance of that man. I was going to catch him on camera, either on the doorbell camera or on my cell phone. I didn't have to wait long after bedtime before the door started to rattle. Someone was banging on it. I ran to the front door while calling the police. As soon as I told them what was happening, I disobeyed their advice to hide in my room and wait for them to come and go to the front door. I knew the police would not arrive in time. Somehow, I had to get a picture of them. Once I was at the door, I looked through the keyhole and set up my camera. But I was shocked. There was no one there. The stalker always takes much longer to leave, usually a long time knocking on my door. Maybe he saw a policeman or a neighbor and left. Whatever the case, he had escaped me again. I went back to my room to wait for the police, but suddenly, something surprised me. What was that noise? Without thinking if I was making the right decision, I quickly ran to the source of the noise. It was coming from the dining room. Once I arrived, the whole dining room was full of glass. I looked around the glass and saw something else. A brick. Someone had thrown it, and I knew who. As if manifesting my thoughts, my stalker entered my house through the window. Once he entered the window, he simply stood there looking at me. At his gaze, I slowly approached the door, but it was obviously locked, and the key was upstairs. The man began to approach slowly. For the first time, I saw his face. It was completely ruined. It was as if a big fire had ruined it for many years. His eyes were full of veins and were almost red, showing me that a lot of blood had accumulated in them. Was this man sick? As he approached me, he had a reaction that made my blood run cold. He began to laugh. He began to laugh like a maniac in a way I had never seen anyone laugh before. While he was laughing, the psychopath was scratching violently all over his body, as if trying to get rid of insects he didn't have. Suddenly, as if it was nothing, he stopped laughing. His look changed again. Now he was completely serious, and from serious, he became furious. As if it was nothing, the stalker screamed at me violently and started running in my direction. I tried to run towards the kitchen to grab a knife, but I couldn't advance even 3 steps as the psychopath was already ahead of me. With excessive brutality, he lunged at me and threw me against the wall. I fell to the floor dizzy, but without giving a break, the man began to kick me brutally on the floor. If you had only seen his face. He was a normal man, but he looked possessed. I had never seen anyone attack another person with such anger and savagery. This man seemed to hate me, even though he had never seen me in his whole life. When I was too tired to fight, the stalker stopped kicking me and stepped on my face with contempt, as if I were a cockroach. As I cried and thought these were my last moments, he just spat at me with contempt, and as he came, he left. My confusion was absolute. Why had the man beaten me up and just walked away? He didn't try to rob me, kidnap me, or do anything to me. He just beat me up and left. In pain, I crawled to the window to see if he was gone, and to my surprise, I was in for something else. The man came out of the window as if waiting for me. He dragged me through the glass and carried me outside, where he kept kicking me on the ground. "You shouldn't have moved." Suddenly, we both heard the police sirens in the distance. Bored, the man stopped kicking me and left. When the police saw me lying on the ground in pain, they didn't even try to follow him. Maybe they didn't even know he was nearby. They immediately ran to me and called the ambulance, checking to see if I was alive or if they could do anything to save me. Soon after, I ended up in the hospital. Although there were several recordings of the man, he was never fully identified, so they could not capture him either. As soon as I was released from the hospital, I stayed at a friend's house until I was able to sell the house and move again. I never heard from the man again, and to tell you the truth, I'm more than happy with that. The only thing that makes me feel bad at night is the thought that when he was done with me, he probably went looking for another victim, and maybe that victim wasn't as lucky to survive as I did.
I know most of you've heard a lot of stalker horror stories, but what would happen if the stalker isn't a human, but rather something else entirely? This is my story, where I was stalked in the middle of a dark forest by someone or something I didn't want to confront in my wildest dreams. I'm an avid outdoorsman. I love being outdoors on adventures and in nature, just enjoying my life. For the past 20 years, I've traveled a lot. I've been to hundreds of different locations across several countries and experienced the finest scenes nature has to offer. But my heart still lies in my home country. I'm from Utah in America, East Utah to be specific. Dark Canyon Wilderness is a very forested canyon area, which was one of my favorite places to hike and camp. Dark Canyon Wilderness gets its name from the high-rising canyon walls that block sunlight in the morning and afternoon, which results in darkness in the canyon. I was familiar with the area and had hiked in the canyon often. When I was back home from one of my trips abroad, I decided to hike up in the Dark Canyon, just for fun, to relive old memories. My plan was to hike up the trail through the thick forest and then camp on the plateau overlooking the canyon below. My father, younger brother, and I had hiked on this trail very often, so I knew what I was doing. Almost halfway through my trail, I found deer antlers. They looked freshly shed and very beautiful. My father was an avid collector of antlers, animal teeth, and all such things. I picked the antlers up and strapped them to my backpack and started walking on the trail again. Hours passed by, and it was almost evening. I noticed that the sun would set in a couple of hours, and I had to set up my camp soon. But by the time I was about 100 or so meters away from the plateau where I planned to camp, I had totally drunk all my water. When I picked up the deer antlers, I didn't think a few more pounds of weight would affect my stamina so much. I was so exhausted and thirsty. That's when I spotted a puddle of water near me. I knew how to make dirty water drinkable. All I had to do was filter the water a couple of times and then boil it. But I knew it would take me some time to have drinkable water, and time was of the essence. I had to reach the plateau and set up the camp before sunset. That's when it clicked. If there was a puddle here, that meant a stream would be somewhere nearby. All I had to do was walk some distance in the opposite direction, find the stream, fill my water bottles, and then set up camp. I was so thirsty and exhausted that I took off without thinking much. Almost 20 minutes or so, I heard flowing water, and then spotted a very small stream. The water was crystal clear. I just bent down and started drinking directly from the stream, like an animal. When I'd had enough, I wiped my mouth and stood up. I reached behind me to get my water bottles, but realized that I'd forgotten those near the puddle where I'd kept my backpack. I was so angry and disappointed in myself. Now, if I wanted water to cook or drink for the night, I had to walk back to the puddle, gather my bottle, hike back to the stream, fill the bottles, and then walk again back to the same spot and set up camp. But I had no other choice. I drank some more water and started walking back to my backpack. Even though the distance wasn't far, the walk was through the thick forest, and there were trees all around me. Almost halfway through my hike, I felt as if I was being watched. I stopped and looked around. I could hardly see anything in the twilight. I didn't spot anyone, but I had a feeling that I was being watched and someone was stalking me. By the end of the walk, I wasn't walking, but rather running to my backpack. When I reached my stuff, nothing had been touched. Everything was just as I had left it. But the feeling I had was very real, and I couldn't ignore it. But I still needed the water. And by the time I would return to my backpack after filling my bottles, the sun would have been set, and I needed the fresh water. I picked up my walking stick and started marching up the trail to the stream. The fear was just as it was before, but getting water and coming back to the camp was my only goal. Almost 5 minutes into my walk, the hair on the back of my neck stood up again, and the eerie feeling of being watched returned. I knew someone or something was around me, watching me. I looked around once more, holding my walking stick as a weapon against anything or anyone that would attack me. I even looked at the tree branches, but I saw no one. I began walking again, and a few meters away from the stream, I saw something that shook the ground beneath my feet. Something that wasn't there on my first hike to the stream. I turned around and ran back to my backpack, not even daring to look behind me, knowing all too well that I wouldn't be able to outrun my stalker. As soon as I reached my backpack, I unstrapped the deer antlers and threw them as far away as I could. The sun had just set, and the last few rays were my only diminishing hope. I didn't continue my hike and just set up camp beside the puddle as fast as I could. All this made me thirsty, but I had to hurry up as my stalker could just attack me at any time. Then, I did the last part of my plan. I built a fire and made sure it was a big one. Not a small one, enough to cook food and keep me warm, but a big one to keep my stalker away and possibly scare away anything else. I had beans, corn, and leftover chicken for dinner, and the soup from the canned beans and corn quenched my thirst for the time being. And then, I went to bed. But I couldn't sleep. The fire was still blazing in the fire pit. Finally, the exhaustion took its toll on me, and I drifted off. The next day, I surveyed my campsite but found nothing. Even though I had planned to hike for 2 more days through the dark canyon wilderness, I decided to pack up and head home after the experience I had the previous day. Finally, as I was descending, I came across the deer antlers I had thrown away, and to my utter surprise and horror, my suspicion was confirmed. There were scratch marks on the antlers, and in the mud around the antlers were very large paw prints, similar to the one I had seen near the stream that last evening. A mountain lion was stalking me. Probably he had smelled the freshly shed deer antlers, which still smelled like the deer, and started following me thinking I was prey. It was wise of me to throw the antlers away before I camped, as the mountain lion would have surely attacked me had I kept them. I had nothing besides my walking stick, a can opener, a small lighter, and a pocket knife to protect me from the beast. I would have surely perished. I left the antlers behind and started walking down the canyon. It's been a year since this incident, but it still scares me to my core. The fact that a mountain lion was stalking me from the moment I'd picked up those antlers was truly horrifying, now that I thought about it in hindsight. I've seen some really scary stuff in my days of adventure, but this incident takes the cake.
It happened on the 14th of May, 2008. I had started seeing him around work, a month before that day. I remember the very first time I spotted him. I was on a lunch break with my friends at work, and he was standing outside the restaurant, staring at me. I recall my friend Allison saying, "It looks like you have an admirer, Noelle." And that's when I looked up to see her pointing at him. The man looked like he was in his mid-30s. He had green eyes and a medium build, and his black hair looked unkempt. I assumed that was all it was at first, as I told myself that he was just an admirer. But it didn't take long before I realized in the following weeks that he was something much more than that. I thought I was crazy at first, as I assumed I had started seeing things. I thought I had seen him at my dentist a few days after the first time, as I could have sworn he was the same man sitting across the room and spying on me through a magazine. The next time I saw him was when I quickly spotted him at a party for one of my friends, Charlotte. These strange sightings just kept increasing from there, and I told myself it couldn't all be crazy coincidences. I wasn't the type of person to jump to a rash conclusion about something, but as I kept spotting him everywhere I went, I soon realized that this man was a stalker. The first thing I thought about doing was to call the cops, but after putting in a lot of thought, I didn't. I figured I didn't have any solid evidence to prove that this man was stalking me. I mean, it was a very small town, and I knew telling the police I was seeing someone everywhere I went wouldn't make a proper case. Plus, it was my word against his. It was a dangerous decision, but I decided to wait for more substantial proof against this man before I took it to the police station. And it wasn't till the 14th of May that he finally confronted me. I was walking home from work when I heard footsteps behind me. I didn't need to look around to tell who it was. I already knew it was him. Luckily, I wasn't too far from a public place, so I increased my pace. But right before I could reach it, my stalker caught up to me. I was frightened, but I kept my composure, and before I could say anything, my stalker looked at me and said,
"I'm sorry, miss, but who are you?"
I was baffled at his statement, as I wondered why he, of all people, would ask me that. So I said, "Excuse me? I'm the one meant to be asking you that question. You're the one who's been following me around, you sick freak." My stalker now had a surprised look on his face, as he realized I already knew what he had been doing for the past month. So he looked me dead in the eyes as he said,
"Yes, I have been following you around for the past month, but that's all your fault. Don't act like you didn't start all this. You made me do this. So tell me, who are you?" "Look, I've tried to go about this the nice way, by following you around and trying to figure out what you did to me, but I can't take it anymore. Tell me the truth. Tell me why. Why am I seeing you in my dreams?"
His last statement confirmed my suspicions, as I knew for a fact now that he was crazy. I didn't say anything, as I had nothing to tell him, and I knew anything I said would just make things potentially worse. That's when he screamed the words,
"Answer me!"
As he made his way towards me, I then told him, "Stay away from me, you psycho, or I'm going to scream and defend myself." My warnings fell on deaf ears as he kept approaching me, so I screamed at the top of my lungs. I knew we were close to a public area, so my scream attracted attention, and it wasn't long till someone came running in. It was a young man who had been jogging alone, and immediately he reached the scene, he said,
"Are you all right, miss? I heard screaming."
My crazy stalker then made another statement that baffled me as he looked at the young man and said,
"Stay away from her, man. She's dangerous."
The young man, who wasn't convinced, then looked at me and said,
"Do you know this man, miss?"
So I quickly responded with, "No, he's an insane man who's been following me around, and he just threatened to attack me. That's why I screamed."
"Leave her alone, sir, or I'm calling the cops."
But my stalker didn't leave as he replied,
"You don't understand. She's the evil one here. Why can't you just see that? I didn't want to hurt anyone else, but you leave me no choice."
And with that, he attacked the young man. They struggled for a while, and it gave me some time to reach for my phone and call the cops. I tried to leave after I made the call, but it wasn't long before my stalker took down the young man and made his way toward me. I knew running away would be pointless, so I stood my ground, and right when he was about to attack, I reached into my purse and brought out my mace. I didn't hesitate as I sprayed it right into his eyes. He fell to the floor screaming, and I could finally hear the police sirens in the distance. An investigation was opened up, and I told the cops everything I knew. I also provided them with the recorded voice note of the whole incident. I had started recording with my phone when I heard him walking behind me earlier, as I knew it would be undeniable evidence. All this in addition to the witness testimony from the young man, the case was already closed. I remember during my questioning, an officer asked me,
"Are you sure you don't know this man? He seems pretty convinced that you do. Plus, we've checked his records and he hasn't committed any prior crimes before this."
So, I responded with, "I can assure you, officer, that I don't know that man. Maybe he went mad or something, but I truly don't know him and why he did all this." The officer then responded with,
"Okay, miss. We'll see to it that this man is punished accordingly, and we'll call you if we need any additional statements."
As I walked out of the station, I had a smile on my face, as my little white lie had convinced them all. I actually knew that man, and his name was Charles Reed.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
I had seen him in a coffee shop about 3 months ago. and I fell in love with him. I followed him around till I found out where he lived, and most nights, I would sneak into his house and watch him sleep. I eventually took our relationship to the next level, as I would often drug him with a psychedelic drug called psilocybin. It's a drug that distorts a person's sense of reality and puts them in a dreamlike state. That's when I would climb into his bed and fondle him. I know this modern-day society would see this the wrong way, but I've realized this is the best and only way for me to have relationships, as I'm not really an attractive woman, so there's always a possibility of being shot down. Plus, it's so much better than dating or getting to know each other, as I'm just getting to the good parts. I always ask myself, what's the point of going through the entire hassle of dating if I can just get to the best parts? Most of you wouldn't understand, as modern society has put all these fake values into your heads. I live my life like an elite. So he'd been given 3 to 4 years, and while it did hurt me to know that I wouldn't be seeing him soon, I was fine with it, as I already had my new prey in sight. His name was John Miller, and he was my co-worker at work. He never really pays any attention to me, and I know he doesn't see me that way, but in the end, none of that matters, as I know he'll be with me tonight.